time now for Breaking Bones with Dr. George Barry and Joe C. An informative but laid-back approach to sports medicine on 1010XL.
Yeah.
Now, let's break some bones.
Welcome to Breaking Bones, Sunday morning. Just do that big stretch, pour you a cup of coffee, and let's get it going, man. Joe C. from XL Primetime, weekdays 2 to 4 right here on the Superstation, and my man, Dr. George Barry. Gio, how you doing, man?
Good, man. How are you?
Just a bottle of water for
That's
you today?
It. That's it.
I need caffeine. Even though I don't think caffeine does a whole heck of a lot to me, I thought you were a caffeine
guy. I do. I'm a coffee guy. I just didn't have time.
Yeah?
So I stole the water bottle from your fridge.
Okay. All right. So you're hydrating on our dime is what you're doing.
Right.
All right. Listen, we've got Breaking Bones set up for you for the next half hour, and we talk sports injuries. Dr. George Barry, part of Barry Orthopedics, and he's fellowship trained under the renowned Dr. James Andrews, and we can talk really any aches and pains. We've got a special guest from Rebound Rehab that we want to get into with some Rebound physical therapy talk. And as I've told you, we're going to keep counting down to the draft, and we're going to come up with another guy that had, I'm telling you, Gio, a myriad of injuries during his college career, and we're going to find out whether or not that's going to hold him up as far as being drafted. But today's a beautiful day. If you guys get out, you're active, this is kind of what we get into. Sometimes, as you get older, you run into an out-of-shape situation. You get hurt. So that's why we got Rebound Rehab in here. Let me say hello to Bailey Hooper from Rebound Rehab. Welcome in. How are you?
Doing great, Joe. How you doing?
All right. Lean in. Pull that microphone close to you.
Yes,
you're
sir.
A PTA at Rebound Rehab. Now, here's the thing I found out, Gio.
Yeah.
He came in and immediately introduced himself and said, so you grew up in St. Augustine? I said, yeah. He goes, well, my parents grew up in St. Augustine. And then he proceeded to tell me just how damn old I was. His parents, his stepdad and his mom, went to St. Joe. I went to St. Joe, and they were a year behind me.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's old. That's old.
Joe, you're not that old, man. Come on now.
I am pretty old, but it's good to hear. That's the old St. Augustine. You know, when you walked around, you knew everybody. You knew who they were. Not anymore.
Before the outlet mall showed up and
everything.
I remember growing up, there were one or two traffic lights in town.
Yeah.
It was real small town.
Yeah. So he went to Pedro Menendez. I went to St. Joe. And then Gio, you were up here in Jacksonville growing up at the same time.
Yep.
A little bit
Not
later.
Not same time, but yeah.
A little bit later than me. All right, now, let's get into some sports injury questions. If you guys want to hit it, 641-1010, you guys can jump in. Now, we had a question last week about training for a marathon, so I thought we'd ask Bailey the exact same question. So let's just open it up a little bit as far as the rehab is concerned. You guys see a lot of injured people. Why are they in at Rebound Rehab? What are usually the injuries that bring them to you guys?
So we see a little bit of everything. A lot of times what we'll see with patients, you know, more commonly like low back pain, we'll see some knee pain, neck pain, but we see everything. We see sports injuries, you know, people playing like, especially pickleball. Pickleball is a big sport right now. It's really in. So we see a lot of people coming in, you know, calf strain, hamstring strain, stuff like that. But we see a little bit of everything, you know, and it's a big benefit to our practice because not only can we see them for physical therapy, but, you know, we can implement some of the other treatments we offer. So we do dry needling, laser, we do blood flow restriction therapy, we do Grafton technique, which is what I specialize in. So we can add kind of all those things in our tool belt to kind of help the patients get back to doing what they normally do a lot faster than normal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he talked about the calf. I think you wanted to ask him that, that calf question.
Well, it is because we had two of them that were as far as training for a 5K. So one did come in last week as far as the first question, I'll ask both of them. You can combine it any way you want, Bailey. But the question that Gio answered last week, I'm training for a 5K. When I'm running, the back of my lower leg hurts and it's sore after. Any idea why? That was the first question. And then last week, I'm also a runner and having a similar issue with leg tightness. It's in the back of my knee and feel like it's a very tight tendon. So what would be some of the things that you would think of immediately?
So a lot of times when I hear stuff like that, I have a lot of patients come in that are big runners, joggers, you know, there's a lot of 5Ks that go on St. Augustine, Jacksonville. So a lot of times I hear those signs and symptoms. I'm usually thinking that they strain their calf muscle, strain their hamstring, something like that. So a lot of times we can get people in, we can do a lot of stretching, you know, we'll hit them with the laser, do some Grafton to kind of loosen up those tissues, promote more blood flow to kind of speed up the healing process. And then also we'll work on some strength and stability stuff.
So you mentioned the grassy. Is it grassy or grassy?
Grafton.
Grafton?
Yes, sir.
Am I saying it wrong? Mm-hmm. Explain that to, because explain that to the patient, the
and patients, the radio,
everyone
doctor.
On the radio. Yeah. Yeah, I keep saying patients.
Yeah, so
on the radio.
So basically, with Grasson technique, we use metal instruments to kind of glide over the tissue, and what it does is it causes small micro tears in the muscle to promote more blood flow to promote the healing process. And I've had patients that I've done Grasson on it, and they're like kind of iffy on it whenever I first get ready to do it on them. But after they get up, like, wow, I feel so much better just after one treatment.
You know, in orthopedics, we say bleeding is healing,
mm-hmm. right?
So when you do surgery and you get blood flow, you're like, oh, good, this has a good potential to heal. And so it's the same concept.
Right. And so all you're trying to do, whenever you say blood flow, does that mean oxygen and everything's getting to that area? Is that basically what it is?
Right. So anytime there's blood, right, that's your blood carries all your healing factors. Same reason why we do PRP. PRP causes, you know, irritation and blood to go to the area. So it's the mm-hmm. same concept. You want more blood flow to the area. And so bleeding is healing, as we say. And anytime you can get more blood flow to an area, there's a higher chance of fixing whatever problem that is.
Right. All right, 641-1010. If you do have a question for Dr. George Barry, for Bailey from Rebound Rehab, you guys can hit us with it. And if we miss it, while Bailey's here, we'll try and get back to it later. But here's one that was thrown at you, Dr. George Barry. I had partial arthroplasty on my shoulder 2 years ago. Yeah. Sometimes I have full range of motion with external rotation. Sometimes I can't raise my hand above my head. Mm. What's causing the inconsistency?
Yeah. It's a great question. So he had what we call hemiarthroplasty, so partial shoulder replacement. It sounds like he's probably on the younger side, younger than Joe. but the one issue that some people have with a partial or a hemiarthroplasty is once your rotator cuff goes out, it becomes a problem.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's his issue, and maybe that's the issue. An x-ray can help, although you can't see rotator cuffs on x-ray. You can see a sequela of it. So if someone has a rotator cuff tear and after a while the shoulder starts going up high, we call it high riding humerus.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get an x-ray and you see that, then you know the rotator cuff is out indirectly without actually getting an MRI.
Okay.
It's going to be very difficult to get an MRI on him because he has metal, and that metal is going to cause metal artifact, which means you're not going to be able to see anything on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of my thought process. An exam would be very nice on him. External rotation going up and not external rotation going up, those are actually a couple different muscles, and that may be the reason. But usually people have a hemiarthroplasty once they start having issues, it's because the cuff has failed them.
Okay.
I don't know how old he is. If he's on the older end, let's say late 60s, early 70s, the chance of a rotator cuff become very high just naturally. If he's younger, 40s or 50s and had it, you know, it's not as common, but can still happen, and then we'd have to kind of figure out what's going on.
All right, so explain real quick what a partial
arthroplasty. Yeah, so instead of, your shoulder's a ball and socket joint.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of changing the ball and the socket, you're just changing the ball.
Okay.
And you're keeping the socket. And you really only do that, one, if you're young, and two, well, not necessarily if they're young, but usually it's younger people,
mm-hmm.
and two, you cannot have any glenoid pathology. So if your glenoid is completely arthritic, you can't do a partial because the socket is gone. Usually a hemiarthroplasty, the most common reason you have what we call avascular necrosis,
mm-hmm.
where the humeral head died because of numerous reasons. Some sickle cell causes avascular necrosis. Heavy alcohol drinking can cause avascular necrosis. Heavy steroid, not like strong steroid use, but steroids as in people have like kidney issues that take steroids can cause avascular necrosis.
Okay.
If that happens, the socket usually stays great. It's just the humeral head that dies, and that's when a lot of times they do a partial or a hemiarthroplasty. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, see, that explains it well. And Bailey, when you're talking about something like that, you have somebody that has either limited range of motion or it's up and down in terms of what they can count on. How do you guys try and handle that, or at least try and get them back to where they're stronger?
Yeah, so normally whenever people have range of motion restrictions, you want to look at a couple different things. So we want to identify their passive motion first. So we want to see if we can passively move it through the range of motion. If there's some restrictions with passive motion, we may need to look at doing some joint mobilization. You know, we'll do a lot of stretching, stuff like that, versus if it's active motion. A lot of times, if there's no passive restrictions,
mm-hmm.
you know, I can move their arm freely when I move, but they have trouble moving it. A lot of times, that means they're having issues with strengthening. So, you know, if you have a patient, for instance, that had a hemiarthroplasty, you know, you don't want to put as much strain on the joint as much as you normally would with someone that has a non-replaced joint. So a lot of times we'll do like blood flow restriction therapy, so we're able to get the same benefit we would have lifting heavy weights.
Right.
with a lighter weight, you're still getting the same strength benefits.
You know, I always say this to Gio, and Gio likes to kind of remind people that you have to do your therapy. It's the only way you are going to get better. The one thing I do appreciate about Rebound Rehab, when I was there, and I'm feeling better, I really am, is that you guys give people a battery of exercises that they can take home with them, right? You got an app, you've got printed exercises, and that I think that's extremely valuable.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. We've been having really, really good success rates with our app. You know, patients have been loving it. They can hop on it anytime. They can look at all their exercises. They can check them off. Let's say they're confused on an exercise or one of the exercises is bothering them. We have a messaging part in the app where they can message us. You know, I answer messages from patients, you know, 10, 11 o'clock at night. If they have a problem, I want to be able to fix it.
Okay, cool.
Feeling better.
I do like hearing that. That's pretty good. Would you answer any of my questions, Gio, at 11 or 12 at night?
No, it's that you don't text me back at 11 o'clock
at night. That is true. That is true. Because, see, you know, the beautiful thing about it is that Gio will find funny things to talk about on the show, and he'll send them to me. And I'm over here snoring away. Yeah. I never look at my phone. I throw it in my little nightstand. I don't even look at it. Whereas you got it.
I have it. I have to have mine near me and a lot because right. I get calls from the answering service, sometimes the hospital, so it has to be.
That's true. Yeah. You're always working.
Yeah.
You're always working. All right, listen, Bailey, as we say goodbye to you, let's just remind everybody, reboundrehab.com, they can go there. You guys have, what, 8 locations all over the First Coast?
Yes, sir.
And it started in St. Aug?
Started in St. Aug back in 1989. We're the oldest privately owned practice in St. Augustine.
All right, we love it, man. Listen, we appreciate you dropping by and hanging out with us. And if anybody has any physical therapy questions, they can hit us at 641-1010, and we'll try and hit them with our next Rebound guest. Thank you, man.
Joe, Dr. Barr,
thanks,
you guys.
Thanks, man. Thanks so much.
You.
All right, that's good stuff. Love it whenever we have that part of our show. And if you guys have any questions, 641-1010, you can throw them at us, and we will definitely try and get them for our next visit with Rebound Rehab. I got to show you this. I should have shown this to Bailey, but Gio, this was texted into us on XL Primetime with our last visit when you hung out with us last week. And I love the dude. He takes a selfie when he's in the car, and then he just says, best thing for Bursaspasm. And so you can see it. It does not look pretty.
Yeah, it's swollen. So he has a olecranon bursitis.
Okay.
Olecranon is that pointy part of your elbow.
Okay.
That's we call it the olecranon. And any pointy part of the body, like your elbow, your knee, your hip, you have a Bursaspasm. And people think, well, there's a sac there. Yeah, but it's very thin. You don't feel it until it gets big.
Mm-hmm.
And so his is big. It's not red. It just looks swollen. And he has an olecranon bursitis. So normally what we do, you could try anti-inflammatories. You can see if that helps.
Mm-hmm.
You could put a kind of an elbow, like a sleeve, to see if that the padding on it helps it out.
Right.
A lot of times once these get swollen, they're hard to go away. And so if you try the anti-inflammatories, you try some compression, you try a protective sleeve, and it doesn't work, then we can always aspirate it, where we stick a needle in it and pull it out.
Youch.
And then usually when you stick a needle in it, we inject some cortisone in there just to help and see and help prevent it from coming back.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times it does come back, but one of the treatments is the aspiration. Then finally, if you get the aspiration and it comes back and it still bothers you, there is a surgery where we take out the bursal sac. It can still come back because the bursaspasm is going to regrow.
It can. I didn't know that.
But we hope that it regrows with, you know, without swelling again,
okay.
Right? And it's about, I would say, like 5-10% chance that it comes back and swells up. But if it doesn't bother you in the sense that you don't care what it looks like and it doesn't hurt you or impede your daily life, you can actually leave it as is. I had a patient coming for knee pain.
Right.
And his elbow looked like there was like 5 golf balls sticking out.
Oh, my God.
And I go, what's up with that elbow? He's like, oh, I don't know. And I was like, well, I just checked it out. Like, you have olecranon bursitis. I mean, it's swollen, it's filled with fluid. I said, do you want me to stick a needle in this thing? He goes, it doesn't bother me. I was like,
wow.
All right. He's like, I've had it for like a year and it doesn't bother me at all. I'm like, all right, you can keep it.
Is there anything like, this is kind of a open-ended question, very vague, but work-wise or sports-wise, that he would say, wait a minute, I got to get... In other words, he can operate if he just is a regular, everyday 9-to-5-er?
Yeah. So really? Usually when it usually bothers people, one, they hate the way it looks sometimes because it gets really big.
Sure.
And two, when they put their elbow down on anything, that's when it bothers
them. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because now it's swollen and it doesn't feel right and it feels weird.
Okay, so I'll take you back to my St. Joe days since Bailey did it earlier. But I played football I was a star. I don't know if you know that. Captain of
Dude,
the
you're like 4'5".
Yeah, so what? Captain of the St. Joe Fighting Flashes, okay? I checked in at anywhere from 140 to 160 pounds in my St. Joe high school career. I can't believe you just said that was that short. I'm so mad at you right now. And so anyway, I would do what was called that chicken wing block. And so you're out there and you're trying to block a defensive end or whatever. And you just, I mean, I was pretty good at it. I would throw that elbow, probably get a flag in today's NFL or today's football. But anyway, that's how I would do it because I'm trying to. Anyway, I would occasionally for years and years and years, including, now, it will flare up big time. And then once it's hurt, not really, just that area, like you said, the pointy part of the elbow has taken on some damage. And then occasionally it will just like, whoa, it'll sit you down.
Yeah, it can be. I mean, you can get so olecranon bursitis doesn't necessarily have to be really super swollen. It can just be a touch edematous and tender, and then it goes away. So you don't necessarily have to have this big golf ball sticking out of your elbow.
I love when you use these big words. I'm a radio doctor. I even have to write some of these down and look them up.
That's why I tell people, we learn big words in medicine because we have to justify spending $300,000 a year for medical school.
Yeah, that is the truth. All right, I want to get to two, at least two of these. One of them's Trae Young in the NBA world. The other's our draft pick that we talked about, Michael Penix. So let's go football first, and then we'll get to Trae Young. But Michael Penix is one of the guys that's in the conversation at quarterback to be highly drafted. And you could say he's at the butt end of the conversation because he's not Caleb Williams, he's not Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, all these guys that have been at the top of a lot of people's draft boards. The next couple of guys that come after those first four are Bo Nix and Michael Penix. Now, Penix played in the national championship game, had a pretty dang good career in the world of college football, played at Indiana, played at Washington, but he had severe injuries and is up in age. I want to say he's like 23, 24. Anyway, two torn ACLs.
Same leg?
I believe so. I'm going to have to look that up. But in four seasons at Indiana, okay, he had season-ending injuries each of those years. Two torn ACLs and two shoulder issues. So that's 4 years, Gio, where he was not able to finish the season. And then he ultimately went on and played at Washington, stayed pretty healthy. And still, he looks pretty dang good. But how do you guard against that if you had two ACLs? And two shoulder issues.
It's tough. He's had a couple ACL. I'm trying to figure out if it was one or both, but either way.
Yeah, I'm going to look here real quick.
An AC joint separation, he had it on the left side, but then he had a sternoclavicular joint injury from 2019. So that's an SC joint, which is very interesting.
Oh, okay.
And then the two ACLs. Look, I think these are just bad luck in that sense, right? Maybe his O-line wasn't that great.
Yeah.
Now he had ACL in the same knee.
Yeah, both of them in the right knee.
And we talk about this. One ACL tear, the chance of re-tearing it is now very high. And it's common to tear that, right? So that's not out of the ordinary that he tore it. That can happen to anyone with an ACL tear. And so... But ACL tear, him having the surgery, then re-tearing it, that's not, him being prone to injury. That's just, that's what happens when you have an ACL reconstruction.
Right.
Then him having an AC joint tear or...
AC joint separation and a shoulder clavicle fracture.
Yeah, so those are all different things, and it's unfortunate. I think it does, make people a little wary of him. I don't think the AC joint and the clavicle fracture so much. Clavicle fracture, no, as long as that's healed, I don't think it's an issue. AC joint, maybe if he has some residual pain, but probably not.
Right.
The ACL is the big thing. He's had two of them.
Yeah.
And now there's a risk of having a third one.
And by the way, he looks like he should be this multifaceted, multi-skilled type of quarterback, meaning he can throw and run. He doesn't run that fast because of those ACL injuries.
Yeah, it's two ACLs. And not only does he probably not run fast because he's had two ACLs, he's also mentally scared of hurting that knee again, and that's completely normal.
Yeah, you know, the other thing about it, and I have to go back and look at this, but the one thing that did at least one of the guys draft guys taking a look at the chances of where he's going to be drafted is that he didn't suffer that many sacks. They still didn't get to him. He was able to get the ball out. And so Penix is going to go somewhere. It's probably going to be, I'm guessing, early to late second round. But the idea that this dude can't play the game, I think that's where we're a little short-sighted. It's just, it's that worry. It's not a coin flip, but it's that worry that you invest in a player and then boom, here comes the injury hitting him and he's going to be, because I don't know how many cats can come back from three ACLs on one knee. You can't really.
That's a lot. I actually have not seen anybody with three ACLs on one knee. I don't think I've met anybody with three ACLs on one knee, but it's definitely there because the more ACLs you have, the higher the risk of a failure. But I read one coach said he's their number two quarterback.
Yeah.
Like when he looks
on the board.
On the board.
Yeah.
So, you know, people still want him and maybe they're willing to roll the dice on him.
And he's a left-hander. Matt Hayes and I always argue about this.
Is that better or worse?
Well, he argues that it's tough for the receiver to see the football spinning in one direction versus the other, and that it comes off the hand differently because these guys they're so good at what they do. Their eye coordination as far as picking up the ball, they're so good at it, but they're not used to seeing a left-hander, just the arm angle that they release the football.
Yeah, but if you train with them, I mean.
I'm with you too. You and I, look.
You just do some training with him.
We both look at Matt Hayes and say, you're an idiot. You don't even know what you're talking about. And so I think of Tua Tagovailoa down at Miami. He's a left-hander. Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, those guys don't mind catching that football.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just there's so few.
I'd have to disagree.
You know what it is? It's discrimination against the left-handers. I'm a left-hander. I write left-handed, eat left-handed.
Oh, really?
Do a couple of other things left-handed, but I play sports right-handed.
Interesting. So I am the kind of opposite. I am right-handed.
Yeah.
I write my right hand, do everything with my right hand. Mm-hmm. But when I play soccer and I do anything, it's my left foot.
You're left-footed.
Left-footed.
That is crazy because I think as a kid, I was turned around. They just said, there's no such thing as a left-hander. Yeah. Do everything right-handed. But you do kick left-footed.
So like in baseball, a left-handed pitcher is prized.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In soccer, a left-footed kicker is prized because they're not common, right? So they can play the left side very well. But I don't think it matters in football.
Yeah, it's so funny. Now, kids that are right-handed in baseball, if they can turn them around and teach them to throw left, they will definitely.
Dude, I tried so hard for my older son who plays soccer. I'm like, you want to kick left-footed? he doesn't want it.
All right, now listen. Let's get a couple of other questions and thoughts. I got to bring up Trey Young. You know how the injury reporting goes, Gio. None of them are the forthcoming with as much information as you'd like. But anyway, here we are.
Question. I just want to ask you, are they going to start changing this because now that there's gambling and now that there's, you know, some teams are getting in trouble for the way that they were posting things and they get up to like, I don't know, like the morning of to make a decision, but that changes the gambling line.
You better believe
completely.
It, man.
Like, I feel like it should be, you have 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
At the 24-hour mark, that's your final decision if someone's out or not, like game time decision, because that changes. People are going to bet God knows how much money.
I agree.
I don't know. I mean,
look, the way it's always been said to me is that Vegas knows. Vegas has enough people that will get inside programs to get the true injury report, and that's why you'll see a line move. But I agree with you. There's more vagueness out there. There's less accurate reporting. And there's so much more talk of betting lines now that I do think it's influenced it. And Vegas doesn't like it. Vegas doesn't like it. That's why Vegas is one of the best gatekeepers of the NFL as far as when they might be not doing something properly, not letting people know about the injuries, because they'll get burned.
Yeah.
They do not like that at all.
You think they're going to change eventually that it's going to be like a 24-hour? Because right now, how long you have to...
Well, all right, let's just go NFL on Sundays.
Yeah.
You have 8 inactive players, okay? You have 53 on your team, and you have 45 that you dress game day, okay? 4 of them, I believe I have this right, 4 of them you would designate as inactive the day before. So that'd be your 24-hour rule that you're talking about. Then there's 4 more that they will list inactive day of. And it could come as...
But what about like...
It could come about an hour before the game.
That's the thing. Because like when Trevor was hurt, we had a couple games where it was game time decision. And then we found out like an hour or two before.
Yeah. So about an hour or two before.
That's a big deal. If your starting quarterback doesn't play, that's not... Listen, in football, your quarterback... I mean, listen, the team's the quarterback.
Yeah.
Right? This isn't baseball where like, oh, this pitcher can't do, so we have another pitcher come in.
Yeah.
Or basketball where, yeah, basketball is still like... reliant on a guy, but it's more, I mean, you can have someone kind of help in and you know, pick up for that game and, yeah. and get a win out of it. Mm-hmm. But if your quarterback is out, that's...
Let me tell you something.
That's a big deal.
You know, I occasionally like to dabble in the betting lines, and when you see a move from, let's just use 7 points as a good number in the game of football, it could go from 7 to 5.5. That's a point and a half swing. And you may think that's not that big of a deal. That's Vegas finding out there's a significant injury, maybe to the quarterback like you're talking about, and you either jump on it or you stay away from it because there's just all these great unknowns. Right. 5.5 points or down to even 5, a 2-point swing, that's big. All right, let me bring up Trae Young because we've got the NBA wrapping up the regular season, play-in tournaments coming up. You got the Miami Heat.
Man. They're doing – they've – Yeah.
All right. Week. That was Gio's commentary on the Miami Heat's finish to the NBA regular season. All right. So Trae Young is trying to come back for the Atlanta Hawks. So he's been cleared to return to practice. This was last week, basically, that they gave him the green light to come back this week and start practicing again. And he had surgery to repair a torn ligament in his left hand. Now, it doesn't
say... How long ago?
Well, 6 weeks ago, but it doesn't really give you the exact finger, I don't think. I swear I didn't just give you the finger. Yeah. It doesn't give you the exact finger, but anyway, surgery to repair the torn ligament in his left hand. Not exactly sure when he's going to be able to be back in play, but you got the NBA play-in tournament coming up. All right, here it is. Left fifth finger... torn ligament.
Okay.
Okay. Now, you finish your basketball shot with your first two fingers.
Yeah.
So, how important would that be?
Look, so the ligament probably is a collateral ligament, which means it helps prevent it from going, if I had to assume, going varus valgus, right? So, left and right.
Mm-hmm.
And it was unstable.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for them to fix it,
right?
The reason for them to fix it this late in the year and risk, you know, I think they're going to they're in playoff position, if I'm not mistaken, the Hawks. It's a big deal, right? So it had to be unstable for him to do that. And so, you know, they're number 10 right now, so they're definitely in the play-in.
Right.
And so they were in the hunt, right? So that's a big thing. So it had to be unstable for them to do it. It's about 6 weeks out now. Still, I mean, look, in real life, I think it's a little early.
Mm-hmm.
But we all know that these
sports guys
come a little quicker, and they have quicker rehab and stuff.
He was averaging 26 and 10. Would that be a candidate to tape two fingers together, or is this totally different?
No, absolutely. I think if it is what I'm saying, what I think it is,
right.
Yes, your fingers would be taped together to give it some support.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. So, listen, if we miss your question, we will get back to him, but I wanted to ask that one because we got the play-in coming up. I feel like we're going to be treated to another good NBA postseason. I really do. Are the Boston Celtics unbeatable?
Dude, I don't know.
I'm not going to say they're unbeatable, man, because last year they kept figuring out a way. You, the Miami Heat, and the Boston Celtics kept figuring out a way to lose.
Yeah.
Every single game you thought one was going to show their dominance,
I know.
They would lose.
You're right.
It was crazy the way
Listen,
it went.
I think when the playoffs come, especially with the Heat at least, the past couple of years, they come in 8-9. It's just a bubble, right? They were a play-in team, went to the championship, and last year they weren't, you know, it's just some teams find a way to –
They do
pick up their game a little bit, and so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you got to give Jimmy Buckets and all them credit because they figure out a way to play when it matters most.
Yeah, which I'm not a big fan of that because I feel like you should play that like that all the time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, your Lakers are number 9.
Yeah. Listen, we're starting to trend in the right direction. Okay, we actually have people who can score, and LeBron is still turning back the clock a little bit. AD playing well. I didn't get to this AD question. We'll get to it next week. But another poke in the eye for Anthony Davis. Okay, he's injured again. All right, listen, we ran out of time. Dr. George Barry, don't forget, BarryOrthopedics.com. Check him out there, and check us out 2 to 4 XL Primetime tomorrow.
You've been listening to Breaking Bones with Dr. George Barry and Joe C. on 1010XL.